I felt like I was on top of the world. I sat there on a cliff looking out to huge mountain valleys and glaciers and rushing rivers. I could see the shadows of rock formations as the sun went overhead. And the snow-capped mountains glistened. I never saw anything so spectacular in my life. I wanted to see it all. I don't remember how long I sat there staring at the beauty, but all I could think of was words like magnificent, extravagant, brilliant, and amazing. And somehow those words were not enough. That was almost 40 years ago. In a remote part of northern Pakistan, near a town named Hunza, on a mission trip. I was in the part of the world where the Karakoram, Hindu Kush, and Himalayan mountain ranges come together. Some of the highest peaks in the world. And unfortunately, as the sun continued to move that afternoon, I needed to move too, to get back to the town of Hunza before dark. Otherwise, I'd be stuck. But I didn't want to leave. I wanted to stay there and see the beauty. And if Facebook and Instagram existed at that point, I would have posted pictures, and there would have been a lot of likes. This morning, we continue in our series, Learning with Luke. And as we do, we have the opportunity to go on a hike with Jesus and three of his disciples. We have the opportunity to get a glimpse of who Jesus was and is. A glimpse of Jesus that Luke gives us. A glimpse that is magnificent, extravagant, brilliant, and amazing. I invite you to turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 9. And I'll start reading at verse 28. Listen to God's word. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud, "This is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and did not tell anyone at that time what they had seen. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, that they together might be acceptable in your sight. Lord, help us to learn from you and to take what we learn and apply it to our lives, that we might be faithful to you. For we ask these things in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. The mountain is a place of revelation. But before we begin to hike with Jesus and Peter, James, and John, we need to see what happened just before this. In verses 18 to 20, Jesus had asked the disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" Remember how they responded? They said, "Well, some people think you're John the Baptist, some think you're Elijah, some think you're one of the prophets." And then Jesus said, to them, "But who do you say that I am?" At which point Peter said, "You are God's Messiah." And then as we move on in verses 21 to 25, Jesus tells his disciples, "Don't tell anyone." He predicts again that he's going to die. And he talks about what it means to deny yourself, to take up your cross, and to follow him. This sets up what happens on the mountain. So here we have Jesus with Peter, James, and John going up on the mountain to pray. Now, we're not sure if it's Mount Tabor or Mount Hermon, and the place is not as important as what happened. They prayed. And when Jesus was praying, stuff begins to happen. Jesus' clothes change. Jesus' face changes in appearance. His clothes, we are told, became as bright as a flash of lightning. It's better probably to translate that to say they became dazzling white or blinding white. They became bright. It wasn't just a flash, it was there. And if that wasn't enough, Moses and Elijah showed up in glorious splendor, whatever that is. They had a conversation with Jesus about his departure from Jerusalem. Now, Moses and Elijah were representatives in the Old Testament of the law and the prophets. Two great times in Israel's history. The time of the Exodus and a time of hopeful waiting for deliverance. It's interesting in verse 31 that the word departure is used. That word is made up of two Greek words, ek, meaning from or out of, and hodos, meaning way or road. Literally, it means a way out. God in the Old Testament provided a way out of slavery to Egypt in the story of the Exodus. In the New Testament, there was a way out of guilt, shame, and sin that went through the cross. While all this is going on, Jesus is talking with Moses and Elijah, and the disciples are over there. And they couldn't quite make out what they saw. They had to kind of shake themselves awake. And they saw Jesus and Moses and Elijah. And how they knew it was Moses and Elijah, I have no idea. I mean, Jesus didn't introduce them. I said, "Hey, guys, I want to introduce you to some of my really old friends," right? That didn't happen. It was kind of one of those extraordinary experiences. And it just gets a little bit more extraordinary as a cloud appears and a voice comes out of the cloud. I don't know about you, but I've not had one of those experiences. But in the Old Testament, the cloud is symbolic of God's presence. And the voice which comes out of the cloud says, "This is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him." Oh, we've heard those words before, haven't we? We heard those words a few weeks ago at Jesus' baptism. Those words reveal who Jesus is. He is being revealed clearly by God. Make no mistake, Jesus is God's Son. He is the chosen one. And we need to listen to him because his words demand attention and they demand action. I've not had an experience like that. And our experiences with Jesus may not be quite as extraordinary as they were with Peter, James, and John on the mountain, with sights and sounds. But our experiences with Jesus are no less important. It may be on a mission trip. It may be on a retreat. It may be when we're sitting alone. It may be in worship. It may be at work or at school or when you're driving, that all of a sudden Jesus shows up and you have a greater sense of who he is. Now, why does Jesus show up like that? Because he wants us to know who he is. He wants us to see him for who he is. We need to make the most of the mountain. And that's something where we can click the like button. Make the most of it. I like it. But the mountain is also a place of temptation. Did you see any temptation on the mountain when I read the story? Probably not. But it's interesting to look at Peter's response to Jesus' change in appearance and his response to Moses and Elijah showing up. In verse 33, Peter says, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." These are the only recorded words of Peter in this whole passage. James and John are silent. And Luke is incredibly honest about Peter's words. He did not know what he was saying. Luke intends for us to laugh about that. Peter didn't know what was going on. He has no idea. Have you ever had an experience which left you speechless? Have you ever had an experience that was so wonderful, that was so brilliant, that was so awe-inspiring or even fearful, where you couldn't come up with the right words? And maybe if you did, you just kind of blurted something out like, "Hey, it's good to be here. Let's put up three shelters." That's what's going on here with Peter. He didn't know. And in some ways, I think it was natural for Peter to suggest making shelters. He wants to enjoy the moment. He wants to extend the experience for as long as possible. We do the same thing. We have parties or experiences, and then we have the after party, right? Because it's not quite enough just to be at the party. You want to kind of extend that time. It's natural to hold on to something that's powerful or meaningful or profound. Experiences that shape our understanding of who Jesus is. Experiences in which we are profoundly aware of God's love for us in Jesus. Experiences where God's power is made real for us through the Holy Spirit. But I think experiences like that can be times where we're tempted. Tempted to stay and forget about the other responsibilities that God has given to us. Tempted to stay and ignore the needs of the people in our families and our community who so long to know the experience of God's love. We're tempted to stay and not engage in the realities of what it means to be followers of Jesus and to the work which he calls us. We're tempted to understand Jesus on our terms and not his. And we're tempted to make Jesus fit our thoughts and our desires, disregarding those things that we don't understand and don't want to deal with. The mountain can be a place of temptation. But when we come to the mountain, we need to make the most of it, to click the like button, but also to learn to listen. The mountain's also a place of contemplation. The purpose of the mountain was for Peter, James, and John to get to know who Jesus is. It's the same for us, to know Jesus. Not to just know about him, but to know him, to experience his love, and to listen to him. The mountain is a place for us to contemplate who Jesus is. It wasn't long after Peter, James, and John went down the mountain that Jesus again told them that he was going to die. That didn't fit the understanding of Peter, James, and John. That's not who they wanted Jesus to be. But their role wasn't to tell Jesus what to be. Their role was to listen to him as God's servant who would make a departure, an exodus from Jerusalem, taking their guilt and our guilt, taking their shame and our shame, taking their sin and our sin on his journey to the cross. As we come to this table this morning, we come and we celebrate who Jesus is. And we celebrate the fact that Jesus didn't become who we wanted him to be. He was the person that God called him to be. As we eat the bread, we remember that Jesus' body was given to us because of our sin. As we share the cup, we remember that Jesus' blood was shed for us that we might be forgiven and know eternal life. Maybe we need to spend some time in contemplation so that we gain a fresh sense of who Jesus is. Because it's easy to click the like button. But are we willing to click the follow button, which includes listening to Jesus, denying ourselves, taking up our cross, and going on a journey with him to his cross? Make the most of the mountain. Like it. Learn to listen. And live to follow. The mountain can be magnificent, extraordinary, brilliant, and amazing. The mountain can be an experience that's easy to like, but we are not called to simply like Jesus. We are called to listen to him and to follow him. This Wednesday begins the season of Lent. As we enter into Lent, will we journey with Jesus to the cross? Will we merely love him? Or will we journey with him, following him to the cross and waiting for God to do the work that only God can do? Make the most of the mountain. Like it. Learn to listen. Live to follow. Will you pray with me? Lord, thank you that we have the privilege to journey with you. We ask that you would give us the grace, the desire, and the resolve to walk with you, to follow you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.